And good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Interoperability Standards Workgroup. I'm Mike Berry. I'm with ONC, and I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. All of our workgroup meetings are open to the public, and your feedback is welcome, which can be typed in the Zoom chat feature throughout the meeting, or could be made verbally during the public comment period that is scheduled for about 11:55 Eastern Time this morning. I'd like to begin roll call of our workgroup members, so when I call your name, please indicate that you are here. And let's start with our co-chairs, Sarah DeFilby.
Here.
Harish Sundar Rajan.
Here.
Pooja Bhabra. Shyla Blend. Ricky Bloomfield.
Good morning, I'm here.
Hans Lundbeck.
Good morning.
Christina Caraballo.
Good morning.
Rafe Cordovano.
Good morning.
Raj Dash. Steve Eichner.
Good morning.
Nidra Garrett.
Good morning.
Raj Gavarti. Thanks, Nidra.
Good morning.
Raj Gavarti. Brant Thomas Karras. Stephen Lane.
Good morning.
Hung Lu will not be able to join us today. Meg Marshall.
Good morning, I'm here.
Anna McAllister. Clem McDonald. Devin McGraw is also not able to join us today. Aaron Neary. Aaron Neinstein. TK Lamo Ocean Canton.
I'm here. Good morning.
Mark Savage is not able to join us today. Michelle Schreiber.
Good morning.
Ellie Spiro.
Good morning.
And I believe John Gargullo is covering for Ram Sharam from NIST today. John, are you with us yet? Hopefully he'll join us soon. All right, thank you everyone. And now please join me in welcoming Sarah and Harish for their opening remarks.
Welcome everybody. We have a fairly full agenda as we welcome guests. Very grateful for Michelle Schreiber and Abby speaking on facility information specifically from CMS and CDC. We are going to review the charge and then hope to, after the presentation from CMS and CDC, resolve some of the outstanding draft USCDIV 4 elements and move quickly on to level 2 elements. A reminder that as we review our work plan and timeline, we do have to start working on our final recommendations. We sent that out in the homework for this week. So really try to start thinking about how to any area that requires specific comment, how we might frame that for our final recommendations. As always, we will close with our public comment and then we will adjourn at noon. Naresh, any comments?
You pretty much got it, Sarah.
All right, thanks. Next slide, please. Next slide. Just a reminder, as always, that our charge is to review new data classes from draft USCDIV 4 and level 2 data classes. We did mention again in the homework that we're hoping that individuals that put any comment on a USCDIV 4 element in the level 2 section to resolve it just for clarity and add your comments to the area on the draft USCDIV 4 element where they belong, just as we try to move quickly through the level 2 elements that remain. Next slide, please. This is a rough view of the elements that we have covered so far. Again, we need to resolve many of the elements in yellow that we've already covered. So we hope to return to those after our guest presentations today. Again, just ensuring that if there are any areas that need adaptation from the submission as noted, that we can take lead on authoring those elements, but otherwise move forward with formal final recommendations from the committee. And then we also again hope to cover those level two elements. Next slide, please. And it is now my honor to welcome our colleagues from CADC and CMS, Michelle.
Thank you. Do you guys have the most recent slides? Did you update them? Because I can share my screen.
I turned to my.
Yes, we do.
There we go.
Okay, great. Thank you. So thank you. And it's a pleasure to be, first of all, participating in this group. And second of all, here today, speaking for CMS. And this is a collaboration between CMS and CDC. And I'm very glad to welcome Abby Vial, who is really helping. She's a coordinator between CMS and CDC and a wonderful liaison. And she'll be speaking to some of the CDC aspects on this. CMS, CDC, and really others across the federal government, we try to align what we are looking for to promote and really align our initiatives as well. And so we thank them for being here today. We're here to talk about the facility information data class, and we can move forward to the next slide, please. So keep going. There are a number of certain identifiers that help us understand what the facility and frankly even provider is who is giving care. For CDC and CMS, this is obviously important as we produce quality reports that are specific to setting, provider, and even organization. And it's important when we start talking about provenance as well, which I just want to throw some support into provenance, that we can actually identify correctly where information is coming from. So the facility identifier data element is really the opportunity to provide that granular patient and setting data, and it tracks back to the organizations. It supports ONC priorities as well, such as providing high care to patients, reducing healthcare inequities, promoting interoperability, and they've really been identified as a joint priority by both CMS and CDC for public health, for surveillance, for reporting, for emergency response. Next slide, please. There are a few facility identifiers that are widely used by CMS, and they're listed here. The CCN is the CMS certification number. The PTAN is the provider transaction access number. The NPI is what we all know is the national provider identifier. And then CLIA is actually a lab designation, clinical laboratory improvement amendments identification numbers. So these identification numbers allow for the accurate identification of a facility. And they're really essential for us to analyze facility level data, allocate resources. They became particularly important, for example, in the pandemic response to know who was doing what and who needed specific supplies or staffing or PPE. And we would really encourage the organization identifier. That's what these are, they're organization identifiers, to be complementary data elements for the facility identifier, because they're really both ultimately necessary. However, these aren't enough alone, because under the CCN, for example, systems sometimes will use the CCN as an umbrella identifier, and multiple hospitals can be categorized under the same CCN if that's what a system wants. It has implications for survey and certification. It has implications for some other things, but it doesn't therefore allow for the granular identification of a specific hospital, because again, you can have multiple hospitals under a single CCN number. It doesn't happen all that often, but it does indeed happen. This is something from a patient safety point of view that patient safety organizations have really been seeking, that when CMS posts its information, for example, that they're able to get information by specific facility. And so that leads us to the organization identifier on the next page. Keep going. And I'm going to turn to Abby here for a moment, but the facility identifiers are necessary, but not always sufficient. So then organization identifier complements that. NHSN, for example, uses organization identifiers, and they use it in the cases such as COVID reporting. So COVID-19 hospital reporting to HHS, patient safety monitoring are done through organization identifiers that may not quite be ready yet for prime time. We think the first ones that we outlined are ready, and we recommend that they go in version 4. This we're recommending to reclassify the organizational identifier as a level 2 and consider for future versions. Abby, let me pause and turn to you for a moment, because this really came from CDC.
Yeah, no, thanks. Thanks, Michelle. And I think you've actually covered it quite well. We recognize that this is frankly a comment level element right now, but when we're looking at sort of you know, this space and the data that we need to, again, not just dig down to a system, but dig down to an individual facility, which is what you really need for action. So not just sort of attribution, but action, whether it's on the patient safety piece or surveillance and response, especially in emergencies. You can't just figure out that, you know, there's a need for supplies in an organization. You need to know the specific facility. You need to know where to send those supplies. So for example, ASPR relied on not just CCNs, but the org IDs that were sort of a next level down. And so while we recognize that the focus here was on facility, the facility class and the elements that have been proposed there, we thought it was imperative to bring this piece into the conversation because ultimately we see them as complementary and both necessary. And so again, we are recommending that this group consider as part of its final recommendations that at least the org ID be considered for level two, given that there are broad sort of use cases that are nationally in use, for example, NHSN, which has been used for COVID-19 reporting, as well as patient safety reporting for a very long time. Teletracking and HHS Protect both had org IDs used as well. So we think there's enough here to at least elevate this element beyond where it's currently classified so that it is available for consideration in future use, future USCDI versions, again, because we see these as important complements. And with that, I think, so moving on, I think we want to cover the rest of the facility class elements. So if you can move to the next slide. And then the next slide. So in keeping with that rationale for organization ID, there are elements that are being proposed as part of the facility class that we think can at least help address this issue of broad sort of umbrella organizations using a single CCN or NPI or CLIA number. And we see facility name, and frankly, we've added a facility address for your consideration here as well, since it's level two, as important complements to the facility identifier. Again, these allow you to kind of dig into beneath a facility identifier when it does apply to multiple facilities. This information, name and address, can help you pinpoint the actual building or location from which specific data are coming. And so again, this is really important when you are thinking, not just in terms of attribution, but in terms of action, whether that is for quality improvement or public health response. For example, if you are seeing data that suggests C. diff is lots of C. diff cases, it's not enough to know that it's potentially within an organization with 9 facilities. You want to know if it's in a specific facility because you have a potential outbreak and you want to go where that outbreak is. And it's facility name and address information will help sort of, again, make action feasible. So there are widely used standards, including U.S. core location resources and names. So we think it's reasonable to move these forward, again, because they are complements to the facility identifier. And frankly, all as a package, let us identify where the information is coming from and so support action in response to that information. But again, just want to sort of pinpoint, we recommend moving forward with facility name and considering address as well. It is a level two element and it would complement sort of the broader rationale for moving both forward. Next slide. So the last element that has been sort of put forward for consideration for USCDI version 4 is facility type. Next slide. And again, we support this element. It is important because it provides contextual information that we think is useful for surveillance, compliance, and public health action. It's important to know what kind of institution you're seeing outcomes or service data from. This kind of facility typology is used, for example, again, in the context of COVID-19 reporting, where you want to know, one, what kind of information, or like if you're seeing capacity data, you want to know what kind of institution, what kind of hospital it's coming from. You need to know the burden. This is also really important for disparities work. You need to know where people are accessing care and how service quality and outcomes are varying in terms of where that access is coming from. So type is important. We also see it as an important complement to encounter location. So if you're thinking about, well, okay, what's the difference? We see facility type as sort of a broader aggregate that tells you administratively how a specific kind of facility functions, whereas encounter location tells you within a facility where care is happening and how a specific area is functioning. So we see them, again, as complementary, not redundant. And we do think there are some applicable standards to work from in terms of sort of defining facility type. For example, the NUCC, Healthcare Provider Taxonomy for Non-Individuals. NHSN does have a facility type taxonomy, and fire location may be a starting point. That being said, after a lot of consideration, again, and I don't want my remarks to suggest that we do not support this data element, we do. That being said, when we kind of dug into how this element has been sort of defined and described so far, compared it to encounter location, we did find some overlap and a leading of the edges that made us think that while it is important to move this forward, it should be coupled with a recommendation to and a commitment to develop sort of applicable standards and make sure that any standards proposed for and linked to this element are clearly differentiated from those that have been sort of proposed for encounter location. We don't want to muddy the waters between these two elements, which again can be and should be complementary in terms of their applications. And that being said, that also leads us to, as this element moves forward, we recommend that it be that its sort of development be support clear differentiation from encounter location and the associated standards there. So again, sort of encapsulating it, think this is important. It supports a lot of public health and healthcare quality use cases. That being said, we do think it needs a little development, but we don't think that that needs to stop it from moving forward because, frankly, it's not going to immediately go into use if it's in version 4. And I will stop there, and it looks like we already have a hand raised.
Thank you so much. Many hands, yeah. Thank you so much, Michelle and Abby. That was incredibly helpful. There's also been a fair bit of chat in the Zoom chat that you can see with questions and support for these elements you've presented. I'm going to move to welcoming some of the questions and comments. Ike, I believe you are first.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Abigail, for your presentation. I'm with the Texas Department of State Health Services and have been long involved in USCDI development and have had lengthy discussions about USCDI Plus as well. One of the places that I started out with USCDI from a personal perspective was looking at how do we address facility information in the context of the USCDI and in the context of public health data exchange. One of the things that I've struggled with a little bit is looking at whether the USCDI should be focused on personal information while a second set of collection should focus on facility and professional information. That being said, I'm really in favor of a consolidated approach for elements that EHRs need to support, not necessarily looking at their particular use case, with a second layer of information looking at the use case to support a given transaction. For example, looking at an electronic case report to public health might include facility information and personal information that's not in a single USCDI not in a single USCDI class. So one of the things I would really like to see, building on the strong foundation that you presented, is looking at figuring out how do we take the USCDI and the use cases we've looked at for the USCDI and the USCDI Plus and transform that concept So we've got a strong underlying set of data and standards within the electronic health records and similar technologies, and then have a strong interpretation layer or business use layer or business case layer that describes what are needed for particular business transactions laid on top of that. Some of that may be supporting healthcare coordination in the healthcare space. Some of it may be supporting public health reporting and public health data exchange. But I think that becomes a much stronger way of moving forward and make it easier for providers and EHR developers to look at ensuring that they are including the relevant data points, if that makes sense.
I think what you're saying does make sense, so thank you for that. It's that not only is there perhaps clinical information that is used for some cases, but you have to be able to track that back really to the exact setting or even provider. And I think that's what you're saying, that these need to layer on each other.
Right, as well as providing clarification for everybody.
Yep.
If USCDI Plus is collecting other data, we're supposed to have other data. Where does it fit with respect? Where does it fit into the matrix? And why is a particular element in USCDI Plus versus USCDI? And you made a great argument, a great position, great presentation, supporting the inclusion of those elements in the USCDI basic or whatever you want to label it. And I'm not sure what gets left into USCDI Plus from a data element perspective. Now, if USCDI Plus becomes a list or a collection of business cases that leverage the data in the USCDI for public health purposes, that might be another approach to consider.
Yeah, I can tell you that for USCDI Plus, at least for the quality side, and Abby might be able to speak from the public health side, the elements in USCDI Plus were really those used for a specific use case, quality measures, for example. And there are elements in those that may be like in the numerator, the denominator of what a quality measure might be. Here, a facility information, you know, the facility ID is really not specific just to quality information, but it's a way of everybody being able to identify the appropriate facility. And that's why we're supportive of this being part of what we're going to call the parent USCDI.
Right, but again, we can take it up in a different venue perhaps. The quality measures are made up of patient data,
yep,
first and foremost. So again, I'm not sure the practicality of splitting that out. We can take that up in other places.
But I think, Steve, so as I understand it, you know, actually USCDI Plus, there are multiple tracks. They include, there's a quality measure track. There's actually also a public health track. Yep. And I think several others.
And a research track and several others.
So I think what you said though earlier was really important. What we're saying about this data class, and frankly also the org ID and certain sort, there's a package of information that should be complementary to what we're doing in terms of the individual level information, and that we need for multiple purposes. It's not just quality measurement. It's not just public health. Frankly, all of this goes to research too. And in those cases, we think that because this is core to multiple applications and certain elements are probably needed across those, and we think these are some of them, they should really be in USCDI core. And then there might be other additional, as you've kind of noted, facility related elements, or frankly, other individual related elements that for more niche or specific use cases, and those might go in USCDI Plus. And I think what you also said about differentiating and being able to clearly communicate why one is in one place or the other is critical. But I think what the argument we're making here is these should not be relegated to USCDI Plus because they are so core to so many applications. It's not a specific use case whether it be public health research or quality measurement. And I again, just reinforcing what you're saying here, we think these should be in the core, and there might be others that go in plus. And again, to your point, we need to do a better job of differentiating and explaining all of that. But our argument for these is that they're fundamental, and hence the core proposition.
Thank you so much, Abby. I'm going to try to move us to some other comments because we only have a few more minutes in this discussion topic, and I want to make sure that we move on. And we have had pre-existing conversations regarding differentiating USCDIB plus from USCDI. So just want to honor that. Moving on to Hans.
Good morning, Hans Bautendijk. I have a couple of questions. One, I want to confirm that in the discussion, I think I heard it right in with the slides as well, that there is a clear distinction between a facility that is much more a location, a building, a place like that, versus an organization that has ownership, uses a facility, and provides that. And if that's indeed correct, that would be helpful to confirm, as the interpretation downstream is going to be very different depending on what it is. An organization that has a responsibility you can talk to in a way, and in a location is where you want to know about that if there is a particular geographic space that you're interested in. So that will be the first question, to make sure that that's indeed still maintained as a difference. And I see Abigail shake her head. That I take that as a yes, which is great. Second part is a little bit more than, is that facility information has meaning in the context of other data classes. On its own, it doesn't do much. So an encounter has a facility information that might be of interest. A care team might not. And there are, we can go through across the different data classes that are in USCDI where facility information is of interest, and other ones, either it's not relevant, or it's already assumed with the relationship that it has to other data classes. And I think generally, that is a comment that we need to look at, that having individual data classes like facility without understanding the context of the other data classes that are important to collect that data on is going to get confusing downstream. Where do we care about that? So a suggestion would be is that we not only define what data is relevant about a facility, the three as a starting point, but also where is it meant to be associated with? And that then can in turn inform downstream use, whether it's through standards or otherwise, where do we care about it? And that we have it available. And the third one is specific to the facility type, where the vocabulary in the proposal was not identified. And there is a wide variety of potential facility types that everybody could use, and there's a lot of variation from one organization to the next as to how they allocate and how they define their facilities, what they consider them. And particularly if the interest is to be able to use that information for secondary data use, as that's being shared, what is really the vocabulary that we aim to align on that can enable such, let's say, national level, larger jurisdictional level analysis, that it has meaning. And it's not just what I'm putting in or you put in, but that we are collectively trying to align to. So second request is that we really are very specific about what it is, or recognize that at least initially, it will be all over the map. So there will be types, but it will be all over the map, and some mapping will have to be done. Lastly, just to notice that we assume that the facility identifier is meant to be unique, as in not just within the organization, but that we really truly can get to the facility across organizations, cross areas, and therefore that the scheme that's going to be used and suggested that we can achieve that, so we know exactly what facility it is, no matter where we are. So those are some thoughts and suggestions on what would be needed to help interpret the USCDI and take a next step, which is currently missing.
Yeah, thanks, Hans. I think the ones that we're really very most supportive of right now, the facility identifiers, CCN, PTAN, MPI, CLIA, plus the facility address, are unique. We think that in the future, we will also need the organizational identifier again, because the CCN number can be an organization that has multiple facilities associated with it. And perhaps a little bit more research needs to be done on the facility type. So thank you. Those other numbers are very unique though, Hans.
Yes, and it would just be helpful to clarify that in the definition that's the types of identifiers that you're looking at, where they are available for those facilities. So that would be helpful as well as with the type, but appreciate that.
Well, and Hans, I will just say that is actually why we kind of recommended for type. Yes, we think it's important. And there are some, again, the NUCC classification for non-individual providers is a good starting point. But it is definitely an area where there needs to be some work. And that's why our recommendation is that if it, you know, we recommend it moves forward, but only with this recognition and commitment to kind of engaging folks to do this additional sort of standards development and standards identification that will avoid the blooming of 1,000 flowers of typology across different settings that would otherwise be the case right now because there are so many options. So 100% agree with you.
Yeah, and if it's possible to clarify then is that the facility identifier is meant to be an address and an identifier that one of the types that you mentioned, that would be helpful because the current definition or draft would not clarify that distinction.
I think if Michelle indulges me, I think what she was maybe saying is we need the identifier, the name, and then as we proposed, the address as well. You need that package right now in order to ensure that you can kind of dig down into all three. I think, Michelle, that's what you were getting at, but if I'm wrong, definitely clarify.
That's what I thought I heard as well. And I think that needs to be a recommendation to enhance the definition of facility identifier to encompass those two concepts, because they're not looked, address and an identifier are not looked at the same necessarily, depending on who you talk to.
So Hans, that sounds like really critical information to include in a final recommendation, right? And so hear from you, right? So easily could, and the extensive documentation that CMS and CDC have on these elements within the draft worksheet can easily be transcribed and then added to in order to include that, which I think is actually really critical.
And that's probably a general comment is that we have seen a number of areas where the definition draft includes mm-hmm. part of a submission, but not necessarily everything. So it's very hard to understand when are we supposed to assume whether the submission as a total is meant to be adopted or whether it is a part of. And this is a good example where it sounds like a little bit more needs to be pulled from the submission to make that clear.
Fantastic. That makes a lot of sense. Because it seems like the understanding is in hand. It's just communicating that in the final recommendation and in the text. Shelley?
Yes, thank you. And thank you, Abigail and Michelle, for the great presentation. I totally agree with my previous colleagues who have discussed this. I have a couple of comments and then a question. First off, I totally agree that we need to move forward with this, but I would encourage the USCDI Plus harmonize with what's being done here, especially for those who provide ancillary services and might not be connected within one location and where multiple care team members have to communicate the information, especially with facilities, transitions of care, medication administration records. So harmonizing is going to be extremely important, especially as we get into population health and being able to exchange. So I support the two data fields of data elements that have been proposed. My question is in relationship to the address on level two of where you want to go in the future. I would encourage you to include room and bed. These are really important, especially as you get into facility. You can't identify where the patient is just from the address of the facility, that the room and bed, especially when we look at delivery of medications and other types of information that has to be exchanged where the patient is for pickup. These are all really important pieces as we move forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I ask a follow-up question on that? Shelley, sure. And I'm wondering, and this gets back to my for typology, but also I'm wondering if the room bed information is something that would you see that as part of address, or is that also part of encounter location? I think that has also been sort of the challenge. Brian is putting, I think that's also something that we need to grapple with, is where do we put, you know, where is it facility sort of administration that serves one function, and where is it, you know, to understand the individual encounters, and what is sort of the differentiation, and how do we sort of develop the two out? Because the encounter is more about that individual level, whereas the facility is a sort of a different class that we link to. So that's something that I've been grappling with, and I think could also continue to be grappled with post this version of USCDI.
I would look at it the same way that we look at anything where we're trying to identify a patient. And so it maybe it's applicable in both places, the location, the encounter, and in the address. Mm-hmm. Okay. So just because, you might have different use cases for either one, they're both important aspects of both the address and both the encounter.
Yeah, I just comment that if you make one of them too granular, it becomes impossible to use for other use cases. If, you know, public health is trying to assess the capacity or health impact at a given facility, analyzing it by the facility as a whole, not individual beds, is what's necessary. So we have to make sure that we don't bundle too much into a given element, or it makes that element unusable for other use cases. I just wanted to lend my support. I really think these data elements are all critically important. You know, public health, after all, is the who, what, where, and that we need to be able to analyze. So I think we do need to move these forward. I do think that type category, when my team dug in on it, there are no single vocabulary set that we could find had everything that we needed. So I think there's some harmonization that needs to be done to figure out how that one actually works, and perhaps an ontology or an ability for a given blanket facility that serves multiple roles at a given address can indicate all of the different types that are occurring there, so that they can be analyzed properly. So it's going to be a challenge, but let's put it in the queue.
Thank you so much, Bryant. We have time for one more comment. This is the end, and Nedra is there.
Yes. Hi. Thank you. Just wanted to just mention, the need for this around health equity, particularly like as we're studying homelessness and looking at facilities where, that typically serve homeless. And so that doesn't quite, the way that it's actually structured now and the standards to support it, isn't really able to capture like correctional facilities and like qualified health centers, things like that. So just wanted to add that note.
Thank you so much, Nedra. Just honoring the significance of that critical aspect of this element. Any other final comments before we move to the next elements? Again, Michelle, Abby, thank you so much for coming to us with these critical elements. And thank you for taking the time to really analyze other elements in the ecosystem and give comments on what's ready for prime time and what might not be. We appreciate that as well.
Well, thank you for allowing us to be here today and comment. Thanks.
Of course. We are, I believe, moving on to the next phase. We have a lot of work to do, hopefully, to get elements resolved, again, to get starting on writing. We are, I think, going to move to the share drive at this time, the Google sheet. There do seem to be still some data discrepancies, comments. We tried to resolve them last week, but if you have any specific concerns regarding comments that are missing or where they should not be, please let us know. We have some wrap up to do on work groups, and we have to revisit some of the elements that we had guest presentations on prior. So when Al is ready, we will go to the worksheet. Just to frame us as Al takes us there, although we have had guest speakers on many elements, we did not have a final discussion on them. And again, given the timeline, we have a lot to do to get writing on our final recommendation. And again, thank you, Hans, for elevating that. So before we move on to level two elements, I just first of all want to note that Pooja, you and your work group submitted a really lovely rationale from the work group as part of medication adherence and medication instructions. That was something that we had yet to discuss in this work group. Any comments based on the documentation that you have in those elements?
Yeah, thanks for that, Sarah, and thanks to the team for that worked with me on this. I think Shelley had mentioned that she put a couple comments in a little bit further down, so we just want to make sure those are captured. And Hans, I know you sent me an email this morning. I apologize, I didn't have time to read it, so I don't know if there was something just a last minute edit that we wanted to maybe do. So Hans, I don't know if there was something that we needed to change, but I think we're pretty much ready to make a recommendation.
Lovely. Yep. Sorry.
The comment that I put in was just that we included quantity in there and we want to double check that since dose and dose unit of measure are already in UCI version 3, that might not be needed. So it's just a duplication perhaps that exists.
Thank you, Hans. So if we can go over to the next column, because I believe that's where you put the recommendation of the work group, correct? Yeah. So Pooja, I believe that this is that Hans noted on the quantity element. Pooja, Shelley, any responses to that? Shelley, I see your hands up.
Yes, the instructions and the dose are different. You don't say in the instructions, take 500 milligrams every twice a day. You would say take one tablet or two tablets. And so dose, at least in the terms of what is the definition of a prescription or in the directions dosage and the directions quantity are two different data elements, Hans.
That's okay. Just want to make sure that there was no overlap more than it was.
So if folks have had a chance to review the final recommendation for these elements, hoping that we have are able to do a final disposition, any concerns with the elements as defined by the subgroup and the recommendation for both of the elements that were covered? All right, no concerns noted. That is one of the elements that we need to address. I also do know that Care Plan Correct also did work on that element as well. Okay, so that's the resolution of the subgroup. Again, Pooja, thank you for leading that work. Very grateful. We never did a final disposition for the health status elements up above. We talked about alcohol use, substance abuse. We had guest speakers on physical activity. What we're looking for at this time is basically whether there need to be adjustments to the recommendation as it stands or whether we're good to go on those three elements. Again, some of the subtleties of the differentiations between prescribed substances, associated terminologies, and the difference between these substances, we can note in our recommendation. We had very extensive conversation about the difference between, for instance, prescribed medical marijuana and substance use disorder with marijuana as a substance of concern. So hoping we can, again, if discuss whether the disposition, it looks like we have a Hans.
On that in general, on the substance abuse and alcohol abuse, it would be helpful to have as part of the support statement for those elements that we suggest more clarity on the scope, particularly in these two cases, the use of but not limited to and the submission, and make it not clear how much of the submission text is actually intended to be in there. Our discussion has been more around a very a targeted set of data on. So I think our when we look at the draft, that we are clear about that.
Fantastic. One of the things we're hoping to do is actually assign responsibility for drafting some of the elements. So if it's not just a pass through, like all done, and we need to make sure that the recommendation includes some subtlety, we're hoping to have leads from the committee start working on that so we can get done in time for our submission to HITACH. So if folks can just consider about taking responsibility for starting some of the drafting some of those subtleties, it would be great. Returning to the disposition. So based on the presentation from AHA and Lloyd from Dogwood and HL7, and based on the conversations we've had regarding alcohol use and substance abuse, are we okay with a disposition of a recommending for those three elements? It seems so. All right. Okay, and then we can just, again, please think if you can help, again, if there's subtleties that need to be contained in the recommendation, if you can help with that. Of note, we also did not create a final disposition of the care preferences down below that were that we discussed with the wonderful guests, Terry O'Malley and Holly Miller and Maria Moen. So if we can just reconsider those. And noting that there was a really clear recommendation for defining that was repeated across multiple members of the ISWG about redefining and naming the class, because at present, the goals class is now containing other elements that are not specifically just goals. So there was a thought reiterated across multiple commenters from the ISWG on renaming the class to goals, preferences, and priorities, in line with the precedent stated in Holly and Terry's presentation. So two questions. Number one, a question on whether we agree and go forward with a recommendation for the inclusion of these two terms based on the subject matter presentation we had from Terry O'Malley, Holly Miller, and Maria Moen. Shelley?
Totally agree. We should... We should rename the class and we should go with their recommendation.
Hans?
And I believe that this one also, based on discussions, that focusing it on what aspects looks like it's primarily the goals part of it, that that we need to have some clarity in the recommendation to make sure that that's what we're looking at. The second comment is that, and that might come back, is that in the discussion on the preferences, care experience, preferences, treatment intervention, care plan, and advanced directives, I think we have a larger topic that as part of care plan we want to reflect on how they all tie together.
Correct. Yeah, that is really critical. And those comments are noted. And I think this was the last, you know, actually, if you can, we can humor ourselves and just resolve facilities. I believe that is the last element, a draft USCDIV 4 element that we had to review and dispose of. So if we can focus close with facility, again, really picking up the recommendation of our colleagues at CDC and CMS regarding identifying the critical elements, noting some of the evolution specifically in type, but the other elements that they defined were really critical, and also stating on a recommendation the coupling of those, how they are important for together. And then I also heard that the comment regarding some of the level two, recommending the level two for organization. So do we agree with the recommendation from CDC that's very clearly written? And then we could expand on it by talking about how these elements are coupled, which was part of the original submission. Any concerns?
This is Steve Eitner adding a caveat that there should be alignment between this and the USCDI plus, not necessarily exclusively for these elements, but for others as well.
That makes sense. And Ike, would you mind putting that in the comments so we can work that into the text of the final recommendation?
Be my pleasure.
Thank you so much. Any concerns with moving forward with those last USCDIV 4 elements, I think that we had to formally dispose of? Okay.
same comment as we need to have to yes. clarify.
Yes. So in light of that, really, what we're hoping to do is, when appropriate, when the speakers were part of the ISWG, leaning on our members of the ISWG to help us draft that final recommendation early and put that in the spreadsheet so that we can ensure the subtleties that we've discussed and represented in the discussion are part of our final recommendation. Again, we are hoping to get some draft final recommendations. I don't remember exactly what column it is in going shortly. Because the capacity for us to put those subtleties in the final rec would be helpful. Yes, Hans?
On that note, specifically, are you suggesting that today or over the next couple of days that we volunteer for different rows? Or are you going to start with some and then we jump in? It's not clear yet how those steps are going to be taken to get from the discussion the general sense of, yes, we want to support it, but we have some clarifications to be made. How exactly are you suggesting that we jump in or wait for something to drop in and then we react? And that's not totally clear to me. And I'm afraid that as a result, we might wait for something to drop in, even though we were intended to put something in already.
My apologies. So what we discussed in our co-chairs meeting was a request to have, if there was a work group, a subgroup, such as the one Hung led or Pooja led or Mark led, or if there was a presentation from within the ISWG members, such as CDC and CMS today, that those individuals take lead on presenting final recommendations for those sections, since they are representing the content most directly. And we ask for that to happen as soon as possible, because those are some of the areas we all needed to collectively think about the most, right? And then for the elements where we do not have an expert within the ISWG, we would need volunteers to start leading on that. I think about elements like physical activity, or some of the other, the substance use and alcohol use. We do need volunteers in short order to start, and we will put your name in the column so that we can clearly have an owner, so we can start drafting those final recommendations. Hans, does that make sense?
Yeah, that's clear. Thank you.
Okay, lovely. And is that okay with the work group and subgroup leads and the presenters, CDC and CMS? To tap you all to lead that final rec?
Yep.
Wonderful, thank you so much. Okay, I believe now we have, Abigail?
Sorry, that was an accident.
Okay. All right, so I believe now we can pivot to the level two elements. Just thinking about time, I think we're okay on time. I want to go directly into care plan because we started there last time. I know that Mark is not here, but I know that there is a presentation from the subgroup. I want to note what Hans discussed was that some of the elements that in our level two, such as advanced directive and care plan, are related to the conversations we've been having regarding goals, preferences, and priorities. And I believe there's some thoughts on that. And I think you actually put a recommendation in the worksheet, and do we have, Hans, are you representing this work today for us?
If we have time, then I think this would be great to start. It was just dropped in. Mark pulled a number of people together. Unfortunately, he cannot be here today. Based on his summaries, the discussion, a couple of additional comments, put together what a recommendation and a rationale for it would look like in column J. So it will be J22, generally outlines care plan. There are two aspects of progressing. One is if we look at what currently is implemented in support of the assessment and summary plan, that's a long name, so I might not have stated it correctly, but is that in there? The way that it's currently being supported is primarily a text narrative oriented approach. And it would be very helpful to, as soon as possible, have the opportunity to type the care plan, so it's more clear in what context that care plan exists, and because there are a variety of care plans that can be in play. But considering the variety of specialty care plans, of which, interestingly, in the discussion that would be around multi-chronic care, it could be pharmacist care plan, it could be perhaps even advanced directive. They have characteristics of it when you start to dive into it, is that it would be good to identify what are the common elements of a care plan that we should focus on in a next round, because that might be too soon to do that at this point in time from the conversation. So you see a split recommendation: do something now in UCDI version 4, do something later and begin to work on that so it can be ready for perhaps even that UCDI version 5, where commonality across the variety of care plans is being addressed. So that's the essence of it, and then the rationale as to the why. So that's I'm wondering whether any of the other team members have additional thoughts, suggestions that were not totally addressed in here as we circle this around.
Shelley?
Thank you, Hans, for the summary. Yes, I was on that group, and what is a little bit confusing, and we did this with goals, patient preferences, as we're moving forward with that particular data class, and goals is part of the care plan, just as we have with some of the components of SDOH are put into different portions of the data classes that have already been identified, such as when you get into the four components of the care plan, which is your health concerns, including your observations, your interventions, your outcomes, and then your goals. Those are the four components of the care plan. We've added some data classes to, as example, health status that become part of the care plan. So this is probably the thing that needs to be fleshed out for the next version, is do we really continue to place those components in those sections that we've already identified as data classes, or do we incorporate it into a data class that is aligned with the care plan? So I agree with Hans's comments, and I think we're moving in the right direction.
And I think Shelley's point is important, and it ties into some of the comments to facility information as well. We are starting to see, care plan is a great example of that, that you have on the one hand goals or assessments or care team or other that are medications, that you have them as independent data classes, but the care plan pulls them together, or other data classes pull in facility information. And those relationships are helpful to start to identify in UCDI more clearly as well, because at times it's one thing to have goals overall, regardless of a care plan, and it is to have goals for a specific care plan, which might be a subset of all the goals. So there needs to be a recognition that there are those relationships, and we need to start to figure out how that's defined in UCDI, unless we accept the ambiguity that only keeping them outside of a care plan or outside of another data class where it's also applicable, that might lead to different interpretations of what's really related or not, or what should be related or not.
Thank you, Hans. Clem, did you have a comment? Clem, you're on mute if you have a comment. It looks like.
Okay. I'm just worried about making it so structured because that'll be an additional work burden on providers. And so the question is, how structured can we make this when there's so much variety and so many different nuances in the care of patients?
And I think that is probably a balancing, that currently it is a very narrative support to enable that, as you indicate. But the question becomes is that where such information is available structured, what do we want to do? How do we want to recognize that there should be, as part of a care plan, goal information on there? So I think it's an excellent issue and challenge that we need to work with. On what level of structuredness do we want to support when available, or that we want to support and provide? So I think that's a great question to figure out what to do. Clearly, having data classes for a goal and for medications that in their setup are very structured, what does that mean for a care plan in pulling some of that information together? How structured should it be or not?
No, I agree with you, Tom.
Well, one way we could address it, if without having to modify the data classes or the elements themselves, is if there were like a companion to the data element class list that identified which elements or classes were related to a particular business or clinical need. It wouldn't matter which class it came from. It would just be an inventory of the related elements. And that's actually a neat way of doing it, because then you could actually separate how you've implemented the exchange, whether you're using FHIR or other technology. It doesn't matter how you're getting it necessarily, as much as identifying the critical elements for it achieving a particular business or clinical need, whether it be, you know, conducting a procedure or ordering a procedure or an element of a care plan or an entire care plan. Just a thought.
Thank you. Stephen Lane, do you have any comments? I saw you raise your hand and then go off. Just want to make sure.
Sorry, I was thinking of saving time and putting it in the chat, but I just want to remind us, this is another one of those data elements that has been discussed year after year. There is a clear value here. And I want to remind, you know, all of us as well, to Clem's comment, that just because we have something in USCDI does not force any provider or member of the care team to collect or document that data. What it does is it provides a vehicle for the sharing of that data when, in fact, it is collected. And I agree that care plans are a combination of discrete elements and free text and should be flexible. But we need to start somewhere. We need to create the container that allows this care plan data to move to define what it is broadly, knowing that over time this can evolve.
Thank you, Stephen. So let's have a conversation, see if we can have a disposition of the element. And then I also want to make sure that we're understanding the suggestions for renaming. So do we have any concerns with moving forward the recommendation with care plan moving from level 2 to recommendation for USCDI V4 based on the work that the subgroup has done? Understanding all the caveats and needing to note that in our recommendation. I don't hear any. Can we now just make sure that we're focusing in on the renaming and any concerns on the renaming that is suggested in the recommendation? I see no comments. So if there's no comments on the element and no comments on the renaming, we are grateful for the work of the subcommittee. And again, Hans, just a note, so we would look for that subgroup, Mark, and you all to draft the recommendation, the final recommendation that we would put in the recommendation to HITECH.
I think we can copy this then to the right column.
Exactly. It is very lovely. It was built with that in mind, it seems like. Fantastic. Just hoping, given again some of the connections that Hans made before, that we can move on to advanced directive, because again, this relates to the goals, preferences, and priorities discussion we were having above. I want to note, I think I actually neglected to have a final disposition on average blood pressure, which was bumped for further consideration earlier. So if we can loop back to that before we close, that would be great. Grace had to step out for a patient, I believe. Maybe we will postpone that until Grace is with us, because I believe she is not with us right now because she's attending to a patient need. Out of respect for her, we might move that until next week. And the, does that, if it does seem fair, just given the fact that she suggested the element. So can we just move quickly back to just considering average blood pressure? It was one of the earliest ones that we discussed. We weren't ready to give a final recommendation on that one. We've had time to think, and there's been conversation in the draft spreadsheet. Any concern for moving forward average blood pressure as an element with CDID4?
Sarah, this Hans. I think that particularly underscoring that it's the blood pressure measures, the time period over which they were collected, as was defined in the draft, and the submission goes into a variety of other aspects of it. That will be helpful to underscore that that's the recommendation. So provide a starting point, and it has clarity to begin with, without getting into some of the other complexities that the submission would be referencing.
That is a very important note. And I feel like we can say this specific, narrowing the recommendation to what we've agreed upon seems really critical.
So could I get some clarification? I don't know what it means by the systolic and diastolic components of the mean. If you want to have them both as means, then you got mean is complicated because it's between beat means and over time means. I mean, I understand the first sentence is fine, but what you're saying, you want the mean, well, maybe better phrase, it must include both the mean systolic and diastolic pressure.
That makes sense, Clem. I hear we can ruminate on that in our recommendation, but maybe can you put that concern in the spreadsheet just so we can ensure that we don't lose it?
I'm only adding it for what I think clarity.
Yeah, no, that seems really critical. Yeah, that makes sense. So I don't hear any concerns with average blood pressure. All right. Okay, so now so sorry to whoever's steering. Is that you, Al? Back down to level two, elevator going down. Because we are going to skip Grace's advanced directive and move on. Again, thank you for your patience. Again, we're going to save this for when Grace is here because she submitted this element. So go on to row 25, entry number 23, okay. I think.
Just clarify that there's a couple of variants of advanced directive, right? Are we speaking to both of them?
I believe there's a lot of considerations in advanced directives, especially as they relate to our conversations and what we're building in goals and preferences and priorities. I do feel like given the fact that we have addressed so much now with USCDIV4, we can have a really good conversation on advanced directives when Grace is with us next week.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Wonderful. next row. Again, just trying to move through the level two elements. So skipping this one. This was a reclassification element. I believe Mark submitted this, that as part of USCDIV4, SDOH assessments moved under health status assessments. And I haven't seen any concern regarding this in any other comments since Stephen and I commented. Any concerns for this move? No? Seems to make sense, grouping with like things.
Sarah, could I have sort of a comment for group or a recommendation suggestion for the work group. When recommending a data element that's in level two, I just would ask that there, if the recommendation, I would say should address any issues with the existing definition, as well as, you know, support, don't support. And if there's any suggestions about change of definition or designation of applicable standards that ought to be used, very highly appreciated to make sure that it captures your thoughts.
Thank you, Al. That does seem important. I do know that there are some thoughts regarding the definition of health status assessment, given its evolving nature. So right? It has changed a lot over the course of the last few years. So we will try, if individuals have comments on how the definition applies, given the new elements, that would be really important to include in the recommendation. Thank you. On to, again, Mark is not here, but row 26 was the reiteration of last year's ISWD recommendation to include the elements coming out of the Gender Harmony Project. Last year, Gender Harmony came and presented. They were part of our ISWD recommendation last year, and they've been recommended again. There have been comments from our colleagues across the ecosystem in this ISWD draft already about support for that. Any concerns with recommending, again, the gender identity, sexual clinical use, recorded sex, gender, and name to use and pronouns that issue from the work of the Gender Harmony Project?
Strongly support.
Is this elaborated in some other document? Because this is packing a lot into one sentence here.
Yeah, so Clem, what happened is Mark condensed the recommendation that was much more extensively detailed in last year's ISWD recommendation in the HITACH. There's a very extensive comment in last year's ISWD recommendation. We can bring that back up for review.
Okay.
Hans?
Yeah, just to clarify that some of it still needs to be published from a standards perspective, but that's reasonable in timelines that it's expected out. And to also highlight is that this might further help get alignments across the jurisdictions on what's being used for vocabulary around these, because we are noticing variations here and there that make it challenging to implement. So it's quite helpful.
I think as noted in the comments, this is of course very critical for the health equity objectives as well. So I hear no concerns with a recommendation of moving these elements from level 2 into USCDI V4. All right, next row. So this, there's some subtleties here based on what we've already discussed. And so these next few elements are gonna be, if we can go over to the discussion, because there is some detailed discussion back and forth between Al and Stephen and Aaron. And so if we can think about this, so this element is abnormal test result, and there's extensive comment in the work group discussion on this matter. Anyone want to lead this conversation just to figure out what our disposition might be?
Well, I thought there was a fairly well-defined HL7 list of codes for this item. So I don't know whether I'm missing something.
And I thought that with the ones that we already included, we covered the discussion around interpretation and the test report date and time particularly. And the test performed daytime, we were looking at the specimen collected clinically relevant daytime, that effectively these three have already been addressed. So I'm not sure what might be different than what we already discussed.
Yes, and that is one way of looking at these. So they could have been included in everything that the work group led before. Are there any other thoughts on that?
Well, this is result interpretation. There's a whole list of codes in HL7 that specify the interpretation in a coded form.
Agreed. Table 78, unfortunately familiar with that one. Result interpretation on row 11, I thought that was meant to represent that. That's why. So it's not disagreeing that it should be in, but that effectively with the comments, we already got it in.
Yes. Raj, any thought on whether you're comfortable? Is Raj with us? Yeah. On whether you're comfortable resolving these given the recommendations that came from Hung's work group?
And the statement that abnormal flags have a lot less utility, I totally disagree with that. You look at the report and you read down, and when you see that abnormal flag, you pay attention.
Yeah, I completely agree with that statement. The abnormal flag, especially, you know, insofar as it contains the critical element, is very important and can be used for routing information, can also be used to determine how data is displayed to the patient or caregivers. I think this is important for us to bring forward.
I agree with those comments as well.
So what we're hearing is a recommendation in addition, as noted, necessary in addition to the work that was done in the laboratory element subgroup.
That's the part I'm still confused around. That it seems that it covers the same data as set and vocabulary. So perhaps the extended justification can be merged together, but it seems like it's about the same concept.
Yeah, yes. So long as it's included in that result interpretation.
Is hung with us?
For example, if you look at the row 11 and you go to the result interpretation, the vocabulary that's being referenced in there, it's the same one that is coming from the row in the level 2 one. They're all going to go back, if you will, in HL7 version 2 speak, they all go back to table 78.
You're here.
Thank you, Hans. Al?
I just wanted to reiterate that because this is, as I mentioned earlier, this data element is the same data element as in draft mm-hmm. B4. Mm-hmm. And so if the recommendation is to change something that's in that data element, that's what the recommendation should be.
So is it okay to ask Raj, as the person who submitted this, to ensure that the subtleties representing this element are included in the recommendation for USCIB 4 as led by Hung's, the subgroup Hung led? Does that sound like an okay disposition to start?
I think that sounds fine, and the subgroup can get back together. I must admit that I'm missing the subtlety of myself of what the key controversy is on this.
Okay, then perhaps there is none. So let's just say that there's enough commonality that we hope to resolve it in the work and the definitions that the subgroup came up with for the USCIB 4 elements listed above.
That sounds great.
That sounds like a great disposition. All right. I think we're very, very close to time and going into the public comment. Let's just see if there's other, I think there's a few other like things underneath. We have, you know, Raj, you submitted entry 27, 28, and 29. I don't know if they actually are, I think we probably will just need to come back and make sure that the same applies to them. But if they are able to be resolved in the USCIB 4 comments and definitions above through the work of the subgroup, that would be elegant. If not, we can come back next week and discuss them further. Does that sound good?
Yeah, I think our subgroup should get together because I think we have elements in the spreadsheet that that were entered prior to our subgroup meeting. So we just need to get back in sync.
Correct, and just reconcile them. That sounds great. And then come back next week and we can go forward.
Sounds perfect.
Sarah, I believe you wanted me to have a moment to comment on what's in row 47, diagnostic imaging reference.
Oh, yes, I did. Yeah, can you quickly do that? I'm so sorry, Stephen. Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
no problem. Apologies. Yeah, so actually, at the request of ONC, I looked into and added the item in row 47. There is a data element at level 2 called imaging reference under diagnostic imaging, which allows for the sharing of the path information necessary to find the image itself in the source system. And there is a very cogent argument for why this should be included to advance the cause of imaging interoperability. We've had some small group meetings to discuss this and would like to bring this forward with a couple of guest presenters next week.
Thank you, Stephen, for leading the charge on that. My apologies for not making the subgroup meeting. So we do have identified guest speakers that we'd like to bring back next week if this has been the precedent so far. Any objections to doing so we can ensure that we address this opportunity here?
No, but along the way, I'd like to support Steve's statement.
Thanks, Clem.
So, Stephen, that the plan is the plan then. We will.
Right. Yeah, and I put as much detail as I could into the spreadsheet for those who want to review this ahead of our discussion.
Fantastic. And then I note that Pooja's commented for the medication level 2 data elements and CPDP education legislation task group will be reviewing those today, and the HL7 pharmacy work group will be reviewing those on Monday. That's perfect timing for coming back next week with dispositions, hopefully, and recommendations. Thank you so much. Any other final comments before? I know we're a few minutes. We have a public comment in 4 minutes. Our order has gotten a little disrupted, but I just want to make a recommendation again. Please, if you put in the level 2 comment area, this is just a process thing, a comment on a USCIV4 element that is addressed above, if you can ensure that those recommendations and justifications and commentary is included in the section for that USCIV4 element, so that we can ensure that it's part of final recommendations. There are a few incidences of that. And so next week, we're looking forward to going into advanced directives because Grace should be with us, picking up diagnostic imaging, reviewing some of the other missing level 2 elements we've yet to address. And again, I think any other final comments before we go to public comment? Just noting we've accomplished a lot today. I know we rarely go to public comment early, but it seems like we might be able to transition.
Sure. Thanks, Sarah. We're going to open up our meeting today to members of the public. If you are on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the raise hand function, which is located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you happen to be on the phone only, press *9 to raise your hand, and once called upon, press *6. To mute and unmute your line. So let's pause for a moment just to see if any members of the public raise their hand. We're not seeing any hands raised, so we'll turn it back to Sarah. Thank you.
All right, so if we go back to the presentation, I really just want to pick up on some of the comments that Hans was making regarding moving from the work we've been doing to our final recommendation. So I've asked, we do have to get that final recommendation going. Naresh and I are drafting the introduction based on precedent from prior ISWG meetings. I have asked any ISWG members who either did subject matter expert presentations or led subgroups to take lead on those, the drafting of those final recommendations, because they're really best able to represent some of the shifts and evolution of the elements that we've discussed. So if you are not one of those people and you want to take lead on any of the commentary and the final recommendation, please send us an email so that we can put your name, or you can just put your name in the spreadsheet and claim that recommendation so that we can ensure collective review of those final recommendations that meet the subtleties and the clarifications that, again, Hans specified that we need to get to. So if we can start working on that over the course of the next week, that'd be wonderful. Again, we're heading into, I think, probably our last guest speaker next week, which would be the focusing on diagnostic imaging and resolving some of those final level 2 elements going forward. Any other questions before we adjourn?
Ooh, who's the speaker next week?
Stephen. Can you help us remind us who the speaker is?
Yes, we are going to be bringing forward multiple speakers from the American College of Radiology, Care Equality, and a radiologist from Mount Sinai in New York.
Any DICOM people?
These are people who work with DICOM. They're not DICOM specific. If you have a recommendation for someone who works directly with DICOM, I'd be happy to reach out to them and discuss this with them and see if they could add value.
I don't know if I do. I'll poke around and think.
Yeah, Clem, look at the item entry 37 on row 47 and see what you think could be added to that.
Thank you.
Okay. Again, Stephen, thank you for taking on that work. Appreciated.
My pleasure.
All right. I hope an understanding of the homework and the objectives of this next phase of work. At Naresh, any final comments before we adjourn?
Yep, we got a lot of work to do on creating these comments. And thanks again for all these feedback and looking forward for the discussions in the next session.
Yes, and everyone, again, just thank you so much for the work that was done today and leading up over the prior meetings. Looking forward to getting our final recommendations set, and we will see you next week.